Yeah, talking basketball. So we started off, we're talking about a little bit of football off camera. Last night we went through our free agent wish lists and the Packers pending free agents, some of whom are already off the board. But there are still some available and some it sounds like are going to be coming available more in the next couple of days when free agency starts on Monday. So check that out. But today we have all basketball. We have one Badger game and three Bucks games to talk about today. So we're going to hit the intro. We'll start with the Badgers.
Welcome to another live episode of the Wisco Fanatic Show, where we discuss the Packers, Bucks, Brewers, Badgers football, and basketball from an optimistic perspective. Wisco Fanatics is brought to you by Cardboard Legacy, Wisconsin's most complete sports card shop. Buy, sell, grade, and consign all at their location in Oshkosh.
All righty. So, as we said, we're going to start with the Badgers. They had only one game in the last week, and it was at Michigan State on Sunday, number 8 Michigan State. And the Badgers did fall. They moved all the way down from 11th to 12th in the rankings this week. So not a huge tumble. Also not like a game where we're looking at it and scratching our heads saying, you know, how could they lose this game? Like they played a good team. They played a well-coached team. And they were on the road, a place that they've been successful in the past. So the dam's going to break eventually. But I'll let Mike go first. Mike, welcome back. You want to start with the guards, how you thought about the guards, obviously, with the notable absence in the room.
Yeah, obviously, tough day all around. I'll say first and foremost, I do think I said it in the chat multiple times during this game. I'm going to start with Max Klusman. I do think the Badgers did miss him quite a bit in this game. And it's not even more so. Yes, we know that he can shoot the three at times, but mainly because he's been one of the main facilitators of this team. Like if you look up the team assists right now, I should have brought that stat with me. He might be the leader in assists with this team, or pretty darn close. But he's been a very, very good facilitator when he is on the floor, when he's not scoring. I've talked about multiple times how he has been contributing in multiple ways consistently night in and night out. And that's why I think he's still in the starting lineup, when he is playing. So I do think the Badgers missed him dearly in that regard. That being said, it was kind of a struggle for kind of the other two guys. Kamari McGee, I think this is his first game this year. I would say he was struggling, quite a bit, it looked like. He did get 35 minutes. This is the most he's played all year in a game. But, I mean, for obvious reasons, we were basically playing 7 the whole time. 3 points, 3 assists, got 1 steal, was 1 of 8 shooting. One of the call-outs that I saw, he did get up. You could tell he was getting a little flustered, I think, a little sped up. And I think he was a little he got kind of fed up with like the size too that was guarding him as well, putting him in awkward positions. So it was a tough day for him, but it was tough all around for the guys. And I think he's gonna bounce back against tonight against Minnesota, where Minnesota was the first game he did start a game this year. So he's got familiarity there. He dropped, I think it was 15 points in that first matchup with Minnesota. So I'm looking forward to seeing him bounce back in this game starting tonight. Then Jack Janicki, he did get 13 minutes as well in this game. He had 3 points, 1 rebound. He had a nice and 1 baseline take over, I think it was at over Jace Richardson, who was one of the main guys for Michigan State. He drove right past him and got that and 1. Like to see that. Other than that, he 1 rebound, 1 block. He did play defense on Jace Richardson. He did get beat a couple of times defensively on a couple step backs, I think it was. But that's about it, though, for the most part. So not too much on my end. I mean, the grand scheme of things, you know what? We shot 5 of 32 from 3. That's not going to win us a lot of games. I also would counter to that saying we were literally – it was a 2-point game with 5 minutes to go, 4 or 5 minutes to go. So we were in position to still, pull this off despite our awful, shooting performance. And I think that actually kind of speaks volumes because the fact with how bad, that was, that the guys kept fighting. And, unfortunately, we just needed a better ending. Definitely want to give my props. I know Jake's going to be talking about it, but I want to give props to Nolan Winter. Obviously, had a great rebounding game. I won't go into details after that. And I also wanted to give John Blackwell his props, too. I think he was the one guy that could create his offense out of anybody in that game. to the best of their ability, which led to his stat line. But again, I'll let Tyler talk about that. But I just wanted to throw that out there. And, you know, I'm looking forward to tonight and on Saturday, where we have two opportunities to, you know, put us in a position to, you know, solidify that three seed, maybe even a two, if we can get all of our ducks in a row in time.
Yeah, and you mentioned John Blackwell, and you also mentioned the three-point shooting. I'm going to hold off on the three-point shooting just to talk about the two Johns, which I really don't even have a ton to say about them. Blackwell was really great from two. He was 7 of 13 on twos, but he was 0 for 6 from the three-point line. And I've said it a ton of times throughout this entire season. As John Blackwell goes from the three-point line, that's really going to tell you know, a pretty fair chunk of what the Badgers offense as a whole looks like, because on the days that he shoots 4 for 7 from the three-point line, the Badgers win games by 30. And he was 0 for 6 on the same night that John Tanjay was 1 for 8, and the two of them combined to be 1 for 14 from the three-point line, and the rest of the team was 4 of 18. So obviously not a good three-point shooting day. And I want both of them to remain aggressive as we continue with Minnesota tonight, and then Penn State on Saturday are the two games bringing this regular season to an end. Brad said he can't believe that Izzo didn't get teed up.
That's home cooking right there.
Yeah. I mean,
he's probably got a longer leash than most coaches in the country. Yeah. And he's earned that a little bit, in my opinion. I mean, most conference wins in Big Ten history, you get a longer leash.
Yeah. That's fair. I'm going to hold the rest of my spiel from this game until Jake talks about the big men.
Yeah. So I have a few things I want to talk about. Brad, I don't disagree, but he still gets a longer leash. He's been there forever. I mean, the student section is literally named after him. So, I mean, if that doesn't tell you, then I don't know what will. First of all, shout out, like Mike said, Nolan Winter. 17 rebounds, big boy stuff right there. He is the only Badger, and this is going to hurt some feelings, I do not care. He is the only Badger to have more total rebounds than Michigan State's big man, Kohler, had offensive rebounds. He had 7 offensive rebounds. That's gross.
It's gross.
Yeah.
You're talking about a game where you shot bad, your best player, you know, on a game-to-game basis is probably Tanjay, even though if you went game by game, you could pick a different best player in separate games, right?
Right.
But for the totality of the season, is Tanjay didn't have his best game. We're missing Max Klesmit, who, Mike, you are correct, he is the leading assist guy on this Badgers team.
Yep.
At 2.7. Second place is Crowell at 2.5.
Yep.
So you're missing all that. You're missing all your three-point shots. You lost this game by 9, and you give up 7 offensive rebounds to one player. Now, it's whatever. Sometimes the ball just bounces your way. It is what it is. He did a nice job getting positioning. It wasn't like the Badgers' bigs weren't boxing him out. There's plenty of times that Crowell was boxing him out, and Kohler just out-muscled him a little bit. That's just the name of the game. One thing I do want to talk about that I think could be more topic of discussion, and Tyler was making some good points. We were talking about this pre-show as well. I don't understand why they didn't switch up the defense. Now, I understand for most of the season, they do like the hard hedge on screens. It allows the guards to get back so they don't get beat to the paint by the guards. But, excuse me, this is my point. And anybody who listens to this, you could tell me if I sound like a dumbass. That's fine. I'm wrong on a lot of things. I mean, should have heard my troll attempt last night, trading with the Cowboys. That was something. Anyways. People are giving Greg Gard his flowers this season, and rightfully so, right? But those same people that are giving Gard his flowers are not giving Doc Rivers his flowers for his adjustments he's made to the Bucks defense this year. When the Bucks are getting beat in man defense, now I understand it's two different leagues, but when the Bucks are getting beat in man defense, he switches to his own defense to give the players a break a little bit mentally, give them a breather on that side of the ball, and it allows them to kind of digest the offense that the other team is playing, give them a different look, right? I would have loved if the Badgers would have went to his own defense for 5-6 minutes. Mike brought up a good point pre-show too. He said it during the show here that we were playing 7 players basically. So if you go to a zone, you give your players a rest on that side of the ball, you're in a hostile environment, Michigan State is athletic. These guys come at you.
Yeah.
I'm going to point out that Carr 1,000% traveled on that dunk. Still looked cool. Yeah. It still looked cool. It was a travel, but it looked cool. He dunked on his own man. Poor guy.
Yeah.
I wish they would have just switched to a zone defense just for a couple minutes, just to give them a chance on defense. Not that the Badgers defense played bad, but it felt like the only way they were getting their points was fast break and the big man slipping off that screen. It literally felt like that the entire second half. I don't know if you guys have any rebuttals to that.
The thing that I said to you pre-show was that I see where you're coming from, strictly just to give different looks, just to present different looks to the Michigan State offense. And then from the standpoint that we've talked about it during the season, we've seen games where Greg Gard has made good halftime adjustments to the defense, and they've come out and played better defense in the second half of some games than they've played in the first halves. So I think there's a case to be made for what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, Michigan State is one of the worst three-point shooting teams in the Big Ten too. But what are they really good at? They're really good at creating second and third chance opportunities. Jake brought up the point with Jackson Kohler, 7 offensive rebounds. That's it right there. The decent in transition, not the greatest shooting team though. I don't think they went 9 of 27 from three in this game, which quite frankly I was surprised that they shot 33%. They're known for getting those second and third chance opportunities and playing hard-nosed defense. So
you can say ass. It's okay.
Yeah. I mean, they gave up 62 to us, right? I mean, yes, did we shoot poorly? Yes. But I mean, that's still, I don't want to discount anything that Michigan State did against us defensively. They were in our grill.
Is dead last in the Big Ten in 3-point percentage.
Well, yep.
See, that's Wisconsin the thing too.
Six.
I took the Badgers percentage, right? At 15%. And I took 30% of 32. The Badger, if you take 30%, if the Badgers shot 30%, just like Michigan State, they have 4 more 3-pointers. That means they win this ball game. It's a completely different ball game. Mm-hmm. I mean, shout out to Nolan Winter again. He made 2 of the 5 3-pointers, and the second one that he made was a massive shot early in the second half of this game that kind of quieted the crowd. So if you don't think that Nolan Winter is getting a bunch of eyes on him in the transfer portal, you're dead wrong.
Yeah, I'm really hoping he's a Badger for the next 3 years.
Yeah.
So on the 3-point shooting conversation, now I just mentioned that the Badgers are 6th in the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. They are 94th overall, which means they are essentially in the top like 30% of all of D1. They shoot 35.4% on the season. Now, being 5 of 32, 15% is obviously not good. You're talking about a game they lost by 9 points. So you guys already made the point on, you know, it's a testament to the fact that they can shoot that poorly from the 3-point line and still be in the game. And I understand the perspective, Taylor, welcome back. I understand the perspective of being less reliant on the 3-point shot in a game where you're not shooting them well. But this is a big but. There is no universe in which this year's Badger team stops shooting the three. They're not just going to stop shooting threes because they had a bad game or because they're not shooting it well. That's not going to happen. I've seen people suggesting for them to stop shooting the threes and making the comment of, oh, they live by the three, die by the three. I've seen that comment thrown around. It's one of their strengths. It's not something they're going to stop doing because it didn't go well during a game. Every team has strengths they're going to play to. No team is going to dominate what they do for most of the season, see that what they're good at, struggle with it with one game, and then stop doing it. Like, we just have to just shift the perspective of they need to stop this insert aspect of the game, especially a critical one like their 3-point shooting, which has been a strength. And we have to think of more next game. What can we do to improve that number to get it back to where it has been for the whole season? Obviously this game, the Badgers shot 20% below their regular 3-point shooting numbers. So the couple things you have to look at is, A, how can we get better looks? Can we set more screens? Can we use ball movement better, things like that? Can we, you know, maybe get some looks in transition where they're a little more open and things like that? And then which looks can we pass up of passing up an okay look or a good look at a three-pointer for a good look or a great look on a shot from anywhere else on the floor, even if it does mean another three-pointer. But just having your guys thinking like, hey, is this the best shot we can get this possession? Yeah. So just thinking of ways to get better shots and how can we do that? So that's what I'm going to be looking for from the Badgers tonight, is if they are creating better looks at the three-point line. That's my biggest takeaway from the Michigan State game, obviously. When you see the three-point percentage, it stands out.
I think Mike was on the right track on Sunday afternoon. You have Crowell playing inside. I think you have to change the way you're playing if you're not making those shots. Brad is thinking the same thing I'm about to say right now. You go inside to Crowell. He is one of your best passers. He's just second on the team in assists. You let him cook a little bit, get some jump hooks. He starts bringing that defense to him, and then he can kick it out. That's a way that you can get some better looks. Also, we've seen it where Crowell gets the ball on the block, and Nolan Winter will be spacing, and he cuts to the rim and gets wide open dunk. So I think that Michael's on the right track here, so credit to you, Mike, on Sunday, talking about why did they get away from Crowell. I agree. I think that should have been something that was talked about during a timeout, and that's where I think Crowell needs to be a little bit more of a vocal leader and be like, hey, I'm the elder statesman of this team. Give me the ball. I'm playing some big boy ball right now, because on the road in a place like Michigan State, you need that, right? I mean, that's what Johnny Davis did when we went there.
He said, listen, that's fair.
I'm the captain now.
Had an incredible start to the game, too.
Yeah.
He couldn't ask for much more going on the road.
What do you have, seven, right?
Yeah.
He had seven almost immediately, and he ended the game with 10.
There you go. You know,
all righty. So, like we said, the Badgers play tonight at Minnesota, and then they play Saturday at home against Penn State to end the regular season. If there end up being any more games between now and next Wednesday, which I kind of doubt because they're probably gonna not have any games that early in the Big Ten tournament. But so after that, we should probably be looking at next week. But if anything else happens in that subject or in that week on this subject, we'll definitely add that in. But is there anything else you guys want to say on the Badgers?
Let's close it out strong. It's been a fun year. Coming out of nowhere, being predicted 12th in the conference, man. Hopefully we can finish this out strong. Hopefully contain Dawson Garcia tonight. I think in our first meeting, he kind of went off us in the first half. We did a 180 on him, and then we ended up winning by, I think it was like 20 points or something close to that. But hopefully contain him as much as we can. I still expect a win. I have not heard yet if Klesman is active or not as of right now. So I think we probably won't know anything until like
probably six, an hour six before o'clock. Game.
Yeah, an hour. Yeah. So hopefully he comes back. If not, I get it. Guess you got to rest him up. Hopefully he'll be back for Penn State then on Saturday. But I think this should still be a game. Even if he is out, the Badgers should be able to win tonight too. Yeah. And just get, you know, go to the barn, get a win and get out of there. So beat your rival.
They have a lot to play for yet. I think after Iowa State's loss last night, that two line is still very much in play for the Badgers. Obviously, the byes, not, you know, if they win these next couple of games, they won't have to play till Friday of the Big Ten tournament, I believe. So just like Mike said, let's go into the barn. Let's handle business in the barn. We'll tame some animals over there in Minnesota. Then we'll come home and we'll whoop up on some Nittany Lions and hopefully finish the season strong, get a bye, and have a strong Big Ten tournament and get a 2 seed, and then the fun begins, right? So let's enjoy it.
Yes, yeah, Taylor said, honestly, we played a really good game in a very tough environment, major props.
Yeah.
And like we said, to shoot that poorly from the three-point line and still be in the game is just a testament to toughness. Yeah,
I think. I agree.
Jake, can you share that stat that you just shared in our private chat real quick with the whole KenPom thing?
Yeah.
Share that real quick.
There are 9 teams that meet KenPom's criteria. I believe it's over the last 15 years, if I remember correctly, that 96% of the champions have met this criteria. It's at least top 21 in offense and top 31 in defense. And after that game at Michigan State, the Badgers have entered the conversation. They are the 9th team, along with Auburn and Florida, Tennessee, Duke. I mean, a lot of the major teams. I mean, Houston. I'm trying to remember all of them.
Maybe Iowa State, too.
Houston, Florida. Yeah, I think Iowa State may be in there. I know that the team that dropped out was Maryland.
Texas Tech is in there.
Yep, Texas Tech
is in there. A&M might be in there.
Nope.
No, okay. They had a big win at all. They beat Auburn.
Yeah, I know, last night. That was crazy. But, yeah, they're one of 9 teams that meet that criteria this year, which is insane that 9 teams meet that criteria.
Yeah. It's great this company, right?
This tournament is going to be freaking bonkers, dude.
Oh, Louisville's in there.
Oh, yeah, Louisville. Yeah.
This is off, 23rd a little off topic, but when the tournament comes around, the NCAA likes to set up those potential matchups that have, like, a storyline. Low-key. I got a feeling if we get a 3 or a 2, that Louisville is going to be like that 6 seed or whatever.
We're gonna
I have this feeling in the back of my head right now. It's kind of trending that way in my view. Just looking
Chucky
at all.
Chucky versus Wisconsin in the Sweet 16, man.
Chucky versus Bucky.
Chucky versus Bucky. I like it. Yeah. I'm with it.
All righty. Well, Mike, we'll let you go. We will see you again next week. 2 Badger games next week. So on Wisconsin, we'll see you next week.
Wisconsin, fellas. Have a good night.
Later, Peace. My boy.
All righty. So Justin dropped a Badger in the chat, which we appreciate. But now we're switching to the Bucks. So we have 3 Bucks games over the last week and honestly, some really good basketball games. I'm very excited to talk about last night's game. We have some more film to go through from the Hawks game. So we'll get to that, but we'll start with the Nuggets game last Thursday. Now Giannis was still on a minutes restriction for this game. And he was talking about it before the game. He does not like it. He does not like playing on the minutes restriction. He understands the minutes restriction. But I think in my mind, him having that minutes restriction and knowing his minutes are limited, I think it made him force some shots in this game. And I'm not going to say that he needs to tone it down or anything. But I think just having that, that ticking clock in the back of your mind,
mm-hmm.
that you know you're going to get taken out of a game, I think that made him kind of maybe take some uncharacteristic shots that maybe he wouldn't have. Mm-hmm. Taylor said his new nickname for KPJ is fourth quarter Porter. I dig it. We're going to talk about Kevin Porter Jr. again in that Hawks game as well because of what he does for the fourth quarter. But I like that a lot, Taylor.
Dang, right,
give me your thoughts. Give me your thoughts. I'll write that down, Taylor. I'll write that down. Give me your thoughts on the Bucks and Nuggets game from last Thursday.
All right. Oh, that remind me to tell you, I had a slick saying about Craig Yoho later. I was thinking about it at work today. Sorry, off topic. That was off topic. But first thing I'm going to say, how does Giannis play better than Jokic in a basketball game on national television, and Jokic gets moved up on the MVP ladder?
Because he had a triple-double.
I don't care. Giannis had a triple-double last night.
I don't care that you don't care. That's all that the media cares about is that he had a triple-double.
And he's terrible on defense.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah, we'll show Brook Lopez getting dunked on by Christian Braun, but not Brook Lopez dunking on Jokic.
Off the dribble, behind the
off
back.
Off the dribble, yeah. Can't have that out there.
He sauced him up, dude.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Dude, a 7-foot, 280-pound guy threw a behind-the-back dribble on the MVP and dunked on him for an and-one.
A guy who's going to be a 4-time MVP pretty soon. And that's people still disrespect my boy Brook Lopez. Don't do that anymore. Leave him alone.
We're going to talk more.
Oh, I got some on Brook Lopez, too. So, before I get into the Bucks, I also want to give credit to Jamal Murray. Now, overall, he shot like 6 of 20 or something like that. He wasn't super efficient, but the Bucks were icing every single screen on him, forcing him to go left, and I thought he did a really nice job adjusting that. He finished with his left hand probably 5 times. Probably 5 of his 6 shots, he finished with the left. So, really, really good. Giannis, 28, 19, and 7 on minutes restriction is freaking ridiculous, dude. 19 rebounds on a minutes restriction is just uncalled for. he's just ridiculous. Got to give Kuz his credit. He had 16 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists, and 1 block. He was plus 19 in this game. So people not appreciating Kuzma and really just looking at box scores. I don't know how many times we have to say this. We've been doing this for a couple of years now, and we've had to tell you guys to stop looking at the box scores and actually watch the game. If you actually watch the game and watch the sets they run and how they get into them, I mean, that's a conversation me and you had last night, is about them getting into sets a little bit quicker. And Doc Rivers had comments about it too. It's a lot less iso ball and it's a lot more team basketball, and you can tell the difference on both ends of the floor. Kuzma has been a very big part of that, helping.
Yeah, I talked about it before the game too. He said they're playing better basketball.
Yeah. Damian Lillard only took 9 shots. He scored 19 points, had 4 rebounds, 4 assists. So good job by him. Brook Lopez, 22 points on Jokic's head. 22 on Jokic's head because his matchup was Jokic. Because when Jokic went out, we brought Sims in and they brought in DeAndre Jordan. That was the matchup that was happening.
Yep.
The starters overall had 95 of the 121. They had 40 rebounds of the 48 rebounds. They had 20 of the 25 assists. They shot 32 of 70, and they shot 8 of 24 from the three-point line. Efficiency-wise, I went a little bit different this week. 62% of our shots were two-pointers, and 37% of our shots were three-pointers, and 92% of our made threes were assisted. Nice. That is team basketball. Love that so much. There's two areas that I was looking at this week that one area was like, and the other area was like, okay, it could be a little bit better, but the Bucks got a little sloppy with turnovers. The Bucks had 11 turnovers, which isn't too bad, but they got 32 fast break points.
And the Nuggets only got 8 points off those 11 turnovers. Yeah. Those are great numbers.
Yeah. But one area is the fast break defense has to be better.
I agree.
32 fast break points. The Bucks had 16 fast break points. Second chance points, the Bucks had 9 and the Denver Nuggets had 24. So if you clean up the fast break points and the second chance points, the Bucks could whoop some ass, dude, honestly.
Yeah.
Clean up those two areas and you're good. Shout out to my boy, Gary Trent Jr. Ballin'. Go ahead, my boy.
And we'll talk a little bit more about Gary Trent Jr. because I want to talk about the totality of what he's doing lately.
Yeah.
But keep bringing him off the bench.
Yeah.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. I'm going to have this conversation about our backup point guard in a little bit too.
Yeah.
My main other point that I had on this, you already brought up the three-point shooting, 14 of 34 as a whole, 41%. You brought up a lot of those being assisted. When you have – like ball movement, good ball movement, and you're making the extra passes, you're going to get more open looks. Your percentages are going to go up.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all good things to be happening. The bench was 6 for 10 on threes. And in the second half, the Bucks as a team were 9 of 15. Gary Trent Jr., AJ Green, Torian Prince, and Damian Lillard were all 2 for 2 in the second half on threes.
There you go.
So great second half on the 3-point line. Now, two things. First, Reggie Miller, are you actually serious in suggesting that Giannis is scared of attempting free throws at games?
I forgot about that until you just brought it up right now. Forgot about that. He made both, by the way.
Dog, Reggie Miller, are you serious? A dude who shot 20 of 21 in a game in the finals, you think is scared of shooting free throws in a regular season basketball game?
Yep. Yep.
What a dumb thing to say. And the last thing, going back to Brook Lopez. Now, if you follow us, you will have seen that we did a lengthy expose, if you will, on why Brook Lopez didn't have a lot of rebounds in this game and why he doesn't have a lot of rebounds in general. And we talked about Brook Lopez being on Jokic. Jokic being away from the basket a lot. Brook played 37 minutes. Sims played 10, and they both had 4 rebounds. How? Brook is guarding Jokic, who's standing on the three-point line. Jericho Sims is guarding DeAndre Jordan, who I would only guard him if he was standing in the paint. That's a very telling piece of contextual information. Now,
yep.
The Nuggets as a whole shot 16 of 30 against Brook. That's 53%. That's good, I would say. But they were only 2 for 10 on three-point shots. So smaller players were trying to get switches, and then they were settling for threes while Brook was guarding them. I will take that. That's good for the Bucks. The Bucks have other guys who can rebound, which is a big chunk of what we were talking about when we went through our entire, like, we had, what, 4 or 5 videos and 18 screenshots of where Brook Lopez was on the floor when shots were going up. Yeah, just from this one game against the Nuggets.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not – Jokic had 34 points. Again, Brook Lopez was the primary, you know, guarder there. 16 of those 34 came in the first quarter, and Brook had 10 points in that first quarter too. Like, I'm not trying to put Brook Lopez in the same category as Jokic, but, I mean, we got to stop saying that Brook Lopez should be playing less minutes than Jericho Sims.
Yeah, that's just asinine, in my opinion.
Like, just have to put respect on Brook. He's playing his role, and he's doing it well.
He is. He's having a good year.
He's, I mean, he's not going to be Jokic. He's not going to be, you know, Minnesota Timberwolves Kevin Love.
Yeah.
Like, that's not his role. His role is to contest shots, block shots, and box out to get guys going in transition and then to space the floor on offense. That's it. That's it. Let's go to the Mavericks game. Now, Taylor asked if we're going to start about how many games we have with six players scoring double digits for what we had versus what we had before the trade. That's very
interesting. We're going to wait till the next game. I have the stat. I wrote it down.
All right.
Don't worry. That's why I said this. Relax, relax. I got you. I got you.
So, Bucks Mavericks. Now, Jake and I had a conversation about this last night.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very sorry to hear that Kyrie Irving has a torn ACL.
Yeah, man.
It's obviously it's bad for the Mavericks. It's bad for basketball.
It is.
Kyrie is a good player to have on display in the NBA. He's a player that Jake and I, even though he's not a Buck, we like Kyrie Irving. He's a good basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
Him being hurt, it sucks. He was available for this game. So Bucks and Mavericks from last Saturday, what did you take away from that one?
Good win. Lots of good offense in this one. The Bucks scored 30-plus in every single quarter in this game. They scored 40 in the second quarter. They won. Now, something that if you've watched every single game like we have, the Bucks have struggled in third quarters. The Bucks won the second and third quarter 70-43. They were plus 27 in those two quarters. They start doing stuff like that on a consistent basis. That's where you start really, really thinking – this team can make the Eastern Conference Finals, and they could push the Celtics and Cavaliers.
Yeah.
Like, for real. Closing first half hot, coming out in the second half hot. And then, obviously, in the fourth quarter, you know, if the bench keeps doing what they do, you hand the fourth quarter over to Porter, obviously. I have a stat on him after next game, the Hawks game as well. And then Giannis and Dame, no shock there. But, yeah, just got to win those quarters in the bench. Bench just has to do their job, and the bench is way better now. I'll give you some hardcore numbers here in a sec. But Giannis, 29-9-9, 9 of 14 shooting. That's a lot of nines. I feel very proud of myself that I was able to say that clearly. Damian Lillard, 28 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, 8 of 17 from the field. He had 2 steals in this game. Giannis also had 2 blocks. So together, those two had 57 points, 15 rebounds, 15 assists, shot 55% from the field, had 2 blocks and 2 steals. God damn. And I will not take any more disrespect to this duo. They are top 3 in this league, no matter what way you cut it. If you want to put Tatum and Brown on top of them because they are the current champions, I will allow it. But after that, I'm not allowing any more disrespect.
Do you want to know some numbers on the end of the halves?
Yeah, tell me.
The final 13 points of the first half and the final 23 points of the second half were scored or assisted by Giannis and Dame.
That's filth. That is filthy.
That's insane.
That is filthy. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Yeah, so this – okay, let me get my train of thought back here. A couple things. The starters had 89 points, 36 rebounds, and 25 assists. So the last two games – The starters scored 184 of the team's 253, or if you like percentages, that's 73% of the total points over the last two games. They're averaging 92 points, 38 rebounds, 22.5 assists. They're shooting 48% from the field and 34% from the three-point line. If they get that three-point percentage up, they're going to start averaging 100 points in the starting lineup. That's ridiculous. And then you get to the bench in this game. Obviously, Gary Trent Jr. doing a lot of the heavy lifting, having 20 points, shooting 7 of 16 from the field. He has been on a heater. He is now in his role, and he is comfortable in it.
He's gotten pretty streaky this year.
Yeah, that's fair. He has been good as of late, though. Kevin Porter Jr. had 11, 2, and 3 in this game. The bench scored 43 points, had 16 rebounds, and 8 assists of their own. And they only shot 30% from the three-point line, 33%, 5 of 15. So say they make two or three more three-pointers, the Bucks are going to score 145 in this game, and it's going to be laughable. And this is a Dallas Mavericks team that was playing hard, just the Bucks offense was elite.
Yeah.
So one of the biggest reasons for that was, and I know I just said don't always check the box score, but in this one you can check the box score. And I want you to go look at the total number of assists that the Bucks had, which was 33. And I would like you to look at the total number of rebounds that Dallas had. The Bucks had the same number of assists as Dallas had rebounds.
Yeah. The Bucks all rebounded the Mavericks 52 to 33.
That is uncalled for if you're the Dallas Mavericks. Uncalled for.
That's tough.
That's incredible. The Bucks did a much better job on fast breaking this game. I wanted to point that out too. Bucks scored 17 and only allowed 13 from the Mavs. So they did tremendous. Also saw this stat about Doc Rivers, record by points.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Which I thought was really interesting. 119 points or less, the Bucks have a record of 13-24 or 35% win percentage. When they score 120-plus points under Doc Rivers, 20-1. Now, obviously, if you go into the future, last night they're 21-1. But that's a 950 win percentage. I love that. So it's not 100 points anymore for the bare minimum. It's the first of 120 if you're the Milwaukee Bucks, because yeah, that seems to be the baseline for them.
That's the magic number. Taylor said he would love to extend Trent Jr. after this year. Jake would do that in a hot second. I could understand Gary Trent going the Malik Beasley route and playing a one-year deal, shooting well from the three-point line, and then cashing in for $15 million a year.
Yeah.
Could understand it, but, yeah, would love to have him back. So for me, looking at this game, you already brought up the rebounding, the Dame and Giannis combo, the 120 points. Bucks 31 of 35 on free throws. That's a beautiful day.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to have some numbers on free throws after the Hawks game. But the other two things, the three-point shooting, they started 2 for 10 in the first quarter. They finished 13 of 39, which is 33% overall. But they were 11 for 29, which is 38% from the second through the fourth quarter. So they did get better after a rough start. 13 turnovers isn't bad. Allowed 21 points off of those turnovers. That is bad. Try to get that number under 20 is my ideal scenario for that. But my last thing, and this is on Kevin Porter Jr., he has fully taken on the backup point guard role, even with Ryan Rollins getting his deal converted to a full contract through the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest thing that we, and I had talked about this basically since like October, that what I wanted to see from Ryan Rollins was for him to improve his dribbling under pressure. And that it just didn't get better. It's just not something he's really good at. Kevin Porter Jr. can dribble under pressure, and a point that Jake made to me when we were talking about Kevin Porter Jr. is that he can create his own shot.
Yeah.
Those, in my mind, are the two biggest reasons that Kevin Porter Jr. has overtaken the backup point guard role from Ryan Rollins, who had taken the role from DeLon Wright.
Yep.
So, I mean, John Horst has upgraded the backup point guard not once but twice this season for zero cost of signing a guy to a two-way contract and then trading a guy for Marjan, who got released by the Clippers a couple days ago
and then signed
with the Knicks. Yeah.
Yeah.
So for a guy who was not playing any minutes, we got a new backup point guard who is an upgrade in basically every way.
Yeah.
So let's go to the Hawks game and just continue talking on Kevin Porter Jr. because I want to make the point that I have. I understand wanting Kevin Porter Jr. to play more minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But he's first of all, he's not going to start and push Dame to shooting guard. That's not happening.
Yeah, no.
Damian Lillard is still a top five point guard in the NBA.
Yeah.
So that's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you look at the second half, he's not going to take a bunch of minutes away from Dame in the third quarter. If you play him at the end of the third quarter, you're going to take away from what I want to happen with Kevin Porter Jr. that is already happening. So basically the way I see it, if you want to give him 4 or 5 minutes more in the first half, fine. But other than that, I love the role that Doc Rivers has him in.
Yeah.
Absolutely love having him starting the fourth quarter and you leave him in until he can't give you any more.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened last night.
Yep.
He kept him in for about 6.5 minutes of the fourth quarter until he had one really bad, kind of lazy turnover. And then Doc Rivers put Dame in.
Yep.
You put him in, you get all the juice out of him. And then you say, okay, thank you for getting our fourth quarter off to a great start. Now we're going to put in our closer.
Yep.
That's the way you look at it.
The setup man and the closer.
To watch him do a bunch of good things and then be like, oh, he made one mistake and Doc takes him out? Yes. Now it's time for the closer. That's in my mind, that's flawless rotational basketball by Doc Rivers.
Yeah, it is.
So I want to keep Kevin Porter Jr. in that exact same role for the second half. If you want to give him some more first half minutes, fine. But do not fuck around with the second half rotations because they are perfect right now.
Yeah, they are.
So the Bucks now 8-3 since the deadline after beating the Hawks last night. That's tied for the 6th best record in the NBA. It's tied for the 2nd best record in the East with Boston. They were 11-37 on threes last night. That's 29.7%. Not the best. It's a bad 3-point shooting night. But before the All-Star break, pretty much every bad 3-point shooting night was a loss. And they've had 2 games in the last 11 that really, to me, are not correlating to that losing anymore. So they are growing and progressing as a team, which to me is a very, very good sign.
Yeah.
Turnovers, they had 15. That's a little high. Turned into 17 points off turnovers. That's about 2-ish. Higher than I'd like it to be at. Like if they're 13 or under on turnovers, I'm good. The points on off turnovers under 20 is okay, but obviously if you can limit that, the better. Just not an awful night on turnovers. And the biggest thing for me on turnovers is that they only had one in the final 10 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
I already mentioned I was going to say something about Giannis at the free throw line. His last 4 games, he is 33-45 on free throws. That's 73.3%.
Hell yeah.
That is great things for the Bucks.
Yes.
Brooke Lopez last night, 13 points, 13 rebounds. Shocking that I didn't see a bunch of posts going, oh my God, Brooke Lopez had 13 rebounds. People only complain when he doesn't have them. But we're still going to talk about Brooke Lopez in a minute. Also had 3 assists, a steal, and a block. Kyle Kuzma. Let's talk about Kyle Kuzma, and I'm going to share something, just one thing here. This is Kyle Kuzma's shot chart. This is art. This is art right here.
I just want to point out That green dot at the top was a big boy shot.
That was right at the end of the shot clock in a pretty clutch moment.
Yeah, that was a big
boy shot. Under 4 minutes left, and that put the Bucks up six.
Yeah.
Kyle Kuzma was 7 for 10, 6 of 7 inside the restricted circle.
Mm-hmm.
And had 2 and 1s.
Mm-hmm.
This is fantastic from Kyle Kuzma. So I wanted to put that shot chart out there just to show, like, when he's playing in the paint and, you know, a few threes, this is exactly the way that I want Kyle Kuzma to play basketball.
Can you leave that up? I'm going to do my little part on Kuzma because I wrote something on
it. Do it.
So, again, just a refresh, 17, 10, and 2, very efficient from the field. Something I don't think that we talked about enough that we're going to talk about right now, his ability to play off the ball. Is something that definitely is starting to translate to this Bucks team, something that he had to do, obviously, in L.A. when he won a championship. 6 of 7, is that good? That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
He's obviously had to do that in L.A., and they won a championship there. He had to take a different role in Washington, and, you know, he had to force up some bad shots, and people are looking at his efficiency rating and being like, is he overrated, you know, all this other talk, whatever. I don't care about that. But now – he's had to revert back to a role that fits him better. Just using his athleticism, he did a really nice job cutting to the rim yesterday.
Yep, I have that on tape.
Yeah, making himself available for Dame and Giannis and others, obviously. But he was awesome last night. He was tremendous. That was his best game as a Buck to date. If you look at totality of defense and offense. There was a point last night, and Trae Young is a hard guy to guard, not only because he's fast and a good ball handler, but because he likes to do that little head back floppy stuff.
He's shifty, and I will say he's the best floater shooter in the NBA.
Yeah. There was a point where Kuzma was locking him up so bad that he was clapping at him in the fourth quarter, and I was like,
yeah, that was awesome.
I'm here for this. So that's just Kyle Kuzma's entire impact in one little segment there. He was tremendous last night. We got to talk about Giannis, right? 26, 12, and 10. 51st triple-double of his career. 12th all-time. 7th this year. Official. He also had one in the NBA Cup game, which doesn't count towards your stats. So 7th total, 8th overall.
Steve said Kuzma goes from struggling staff ace to number 3.
Yeah,
that's a good way to look at it. If you want to put that,
I like that. I like the baseball innuendos today. Torian Prince got a laugh at him. He lagged mid shot on the mid range jumper early in this game. Even Doc Rivers didn't know if he should be mad or laugh. He was kind of sitting there like, "What happened right there?"
It's just kind of like one of those things where, like, you play so much basketball that eventually some goofy shit's going to happen.
Yeah, right. I just thought that was hilarious. I was like, oh, my God. I got to touch base on Brooke Lopez as well. You mentioned his 13 rebounds, 4 of them on the offensive end. That's back-to-back games with 4 offensive rebounds, 9 over the last 3 games, so he's averaging 3 a game. I think there's a guy that I know that said that if Brooke Lopez wanted to get rebounds, he'd get the rebounds.
Huh.
I think that's true. I think the numbers support that claim. Starters, again, were tremendous. They had 42 of the 51 rebounds, 87 of the 127 points, and 21 of the 27 assists. So they were tremendous again. Now we got to talk about the backups, right? We got to talk about Gary Trent Jr., 6 of 10 from the field, 15 points. The boy is just on fire right now. You cannot stop him. He's getting open look after open look.
And I love what he's doing, obviously, off the bench. He talked about it with Eric Name. Mm-hmm. His role coming off the bench is allowing him to be a little more free because he's not going to shoot as much if he's playing alongside Dame and Giannis. So it's not even about necessarily having your best 5 players on the floor. It's about having guys who complement each other in your rotations. And by having Gary Trent on your second unit, you can put the ball in his hands a little more often.
Yeah.
And he's creating for himself off the dribble. And the shots that he's creating for himself off the dribble are not threes. He's creating a shit ton of mid-range shots for himself, and he's burying all of them.
Yeah, he made one in the first half last night where he caught the ball on the right wing and had to go all the way down to the baseline and fade away, and he cashed in. I was like, ooh, that was filth. That was filth. He's been
creating a lot of opportunities good for himself on that second unit.
Yes, he also had two steals last night. I wanted to mention that. So Kevin Porter Jr., let's talk about him again, right? 15 points, 6 of 7 from the field, right? Tremendous in the fourth. He showed off the entire bag. He went to the Euro step. He showed the head fakes. He was finishing through contact, the mid-range. The thing that people were upset about when we traded Middleton for Kuzma is we lost a lot of shot making, yeah, right? Tough shot making. Yep. And that is where Kevin Porter Jr. has made the trade complete. Sure. With everything sure that Kuzma brings, Kevin Porter Jr. being that tough shot maker, especially in the fourth quarter, he's averaging 4.5 points per game in the fourth quarter, which is third on the team behind Giannis at 6.1 and Dame at 6.5. So him scoring in the fourth and making tough mid-range jumpers is making it easier to transition from Middleton, in my opinion.
That's the thing. It's like if you look at it, like the additions and departures as a whole, if you look at it as like Middleton and Marjan for Kuzma and Kevin Porter Jr., it makes it a little easier to digest.
Yeah. That's almost how you have to look at it.
Yeah.
Just wanted to throw another couple stats at you. Since February 12th, the Bucks have won 7 of their last 8 games. Now, this is where Taylor, if he's still watching here, or you can watch it back. Since 10 games since the trade deadline, the Bucks have had 6 games with at least six plus players in double digit scoring. In 10 games, they've had six games. In the 50 games before that, they had 7 games. That's amazing. I just wrote, that's amazing. Wow. I was like, that's amazing, dude. I cannot believe that stat. So the ball movement, obviously, moving more, Gary Trent being more consistent, Kevin Porter Jr. scoring a ton, Kuzma scoring a ton, Brooke Lopez, Dame and Giannis always doing their thing. And I wrote down 120-plus points remains the Bucks' magic number under Doc Rivers. So good job by the Bucks. This was a good win. Hopefully they can get another one tonight versus a depleted Mavericks team that probably wishes this season ended today.
Yeah. So before I give you some since the trade deadline numbers on the team, let's talk about just a few things from this Hawks game last night. Yeah. And it's more Brooke Lopez doing his job. And the things that we talked about, contesting shots, that's his job. His job is to contest shots, not to rebound. Again, blocking a dunk. Now, I saw somebody share a stat that Brooke Lopez, since the NBA began stat tracking dunk attempts in 2015, that Brooke Lopez has the most blocked shots on dunk attempts. And some dude goes, I guarantee most of them are from the Nets. And I pulled up his numbers that he has 972 blocks with the Nets in 9 years. He has 956 blocks with the Bucks in 7 years. By that alone, you should already know that it's probably about 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
And if you factor in the fact that he's played in a drop defense basically his entire time in Milwaukee, he's probably blocked more dunks as a Buck than he did as a Net. And then he blocked a dunk last night.
He wasn't even known as a defender when he was in New Jersey. He was known as a good offensive back-to-the-basket on the block guy. Which he still has those skills, I'm not trying to take away, but he completely transformed his game going from the Nets to the Lakers, and the transformation was complete when he came to Milwaukee, fitting with Giannis. So, yeah, I'd be willing to bet that it's probably closer to 65% of those are probably as a Buck. I'd be willing to bet that. It's got to be close.
I would think it's, if not 50-50, it skews more towards the Bucks that he's got more block dunks as a Buck.
Yeah.
And got one on camera last night.
Oh, yeah.
So, again, this is Brooke Lopez. This is good defense to wall Trae Young off. And, okay, Brooke Lopez can turn around and look and try to get this rebound. But notice the three players that are closest to the basket. They are all Bucks, and they are all good rebounders. It's Giannis, Kuzma, and Taurean Prince. What is more important to the Milwaukee Bucks at this juncture? If you are Brooke Lopez, it's not getting this rebound for my rebound totals.
Yeah.
it's for the Bucks to get this rebound and go on offense.
Yeah.
Now your offense is already going. Again, Brook Lopez defends this well. Like, this ball still gets passed over him, but he recovers to it well. And again, Brook Lopez could turn around and try to run for this rebound. But the three closest players to the basket are all Bucks, and two of them are forwards that you want to bring the ball up. And the third one is your point guard, who is the ideal person to be bringing the ball up the floor. What does Brook Lopez care about trying to get another rebound? His team's going to get the rebound. Who cares?
I think we should also point out that Clint Capella is known for his offensive rebounding, and he's the starting center for the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah. Okay. More Brook Lopez doing his job. Defending. Runs a guy off the three-point line. Bang. Bucks rebound. Like, that's Brook Lopez doing his job. He's not going to be standing in the restricted circle every single time a shot goes up. So he's going to be moved around the floor. He's going to be contesting shots. He's not going to be in a position to get a rebound every single time. And again, Kuzma getting this rebound leads to Giannis getting two free throws in transition, and he made both.
Love that.
So Brook Lopez is doing his job. Now, we can talk about everybody else doing their jobs. Steve asked, do you have numbers for Bucks rebounding margins with and without Brook? I can try to find that. I know they usually have, like, on-off numbers for, like offensive and defensive rating. But I don't know if I'll be able to find rebounding numbers on-off. I will look. I'll play around with the filters on NBA.com stats.
Yeah. Steve always asking the hard questions. I like it.
That is a very hard question to ask.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Honestly, I bet it's not super different just because Brook Lopez doesn't do a lot of rebounding. It's basically clearing out the opponent's big man for Giannis, Kuzma, and Dame to grab rebounds.
Yeah, and usually the guy that comes in for Brook is Bobby, and he's known as a rebounder.
Yeah, he's a good rebounder, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's probably not a huge discrepancy, but that's why we bring up the video evidence of it. And then we brought up the transition numbers in the video that we did from the Nuggets game, Steve. I don't know if you've watched that video yet, but we did that on Saturday morning, and we talked about, like, who he's guarding. We brought up the contested shot numbers, and then we brought up the transition numbers where – when the Bucks are getting in transition, Giannis, Dame, and Kuzma add up to about 13 transition opportunities per game. And just giving those guys an extra couple seconds to grab the ball and go instead of Brook grabbing the ball, then passing to one of those guys and then going, those 1 to 2 seconds, they can do wonders for guys like Giannis, Kuzma, and Dame to help them attack opposing defenses before they're set up.
I wonder, with the rebounding thing, I wonder if you'd be able to find box out percentage.
Maybe.
That might be something where it skews more towards Brook Lopez impact with rebounding.
And still, the number that we gave that is the most important thing is the contested shots.
Yep.
Because that just tells you what he's doing when a lot of shots are going up.
Yeah.
More than anybody is.
Yeah.
By a large margin. So, Steve, definitely check out that video from Saturday. We did a lot of stuff from the Bucks and the Nuggets game, and a lot of it was centered around Brook and the way that he is used defensively. But let's talk about the rest of the team, the Bucks and the Hawks last night. Now, this is right out of halftime, and this is just great offense between Dame, Giannis, and Brook Lopez. You can run this with anybody you want to in that corner. Anybody you want to. The Brook and Dame, this is something we talked about again at the trade deadline. With trading Chris Middleton, you were betting on the chemistry of Dame and Giannis, and they spammed the shit out of this.
Good.
And it worked a lot. And in the playoffs, run this every single time until your opponent proves that they can stop you from scoring off of this action of Giannis and Dame, because they scored on it so many damn times last night. I don't care that they're going to spam it. And again, just dribble handoff with Giannis. Torian Prince stays right in front of the rim. Layup. Please keep doubling Giannis. Let him rack up the assist and triple doubles on you. And this one, they fake the handoff. Giannis still gets doubled. All five Hawks are watching Giannis. Thanks for the layup, guys.
And there's Kuzma cutting.
This is that ball move we're talking about. They run the high pick and roll with Brooke Lopez. This is a beautiful spin move by Dame and a great extra pass by Brooke.
Yep. That was
nice. That is beautiful ball movement.
That was nice.
This, we talked about this a little bit. There was one game, I don't remember if it was the Timberwolves game or if it was the first game out of the break, that Torian Prince had 8 assists in a game. Yeah. And just, I don't think Torian Prince is getting credit enough for his passing. But this is a weird action that they run kind of a fake screen of Dame to Kuzma. And I think it's more set up to have Dame then coming off of a Giannis screen, coming back towards the ball for what would be a 3-point shot.
Mm-hmm. Or you have Giannis diving to the rim.
Instead, Kuzma just gets a free layup and an and one on a really tough pass by Torian Prince.
I'm going to be honest with you. I think this might be the play that Doc was referring to in his post-game presser, talking about they ran a play for Kuzma and there was a second option off of it that they didn't even get to. This might be that play.
I bet it's Dame coming off of a screen by Giannis.
Yeah.
Or it could be just give the ball to Giannis and he's got 3-point shooters everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, if you do run that with Dame coming to the top off a screen, you can have Kuzma, after he gets that screen, clear out to the corner. Then you have options of Giannis cutting to the rim, which is going to attract attention. So you have Kuzma open to the corner, or obviously you have Damian Lillard and Brooke Lopez out there. I mean,
I like the idea that if Dame is going to turn around and come off of a screen from, you know, towards the top of the 3-point line, if the Hawks switch that, Giannis now has Dyson Daniels on him, who is 5 inches shorter and 100 pounds lighter.
Yeah. I mean, and look at Brooke Lopez. He is a good 3-point shooter, and there is not a Hawk within an area code of that guy right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Love this. Yeah. Good offense by the Bucks, and just a great pass by Torian Prince.
Yeah. Nice. That was nice.
All right. Now, the Hawks, they went on a run to tie this game at 121. Oh, they'll just spam the Dame and Giannis. It's that easy. Just Dame and Giannis. Like, that sucks if you're Atlanta.
You're stuck between a rock and a hard place. You have no options here. Either you leave the second – percentage-wise, second-best 3-point shooter in the league in the corner wide open, or you give up a layup slash dunk to a 7-footer.
And here's the thing. Even if Trae Young gets there in time.
Yeah, what is he doing?
He's a Q-tip to Brooke Lopez.
Fucking A, dude. A Q-tip. I like that. That had two meanings. I like that.
Like, he wasn't doing anything. And then this is beautiful. We talked about keeping Kevin Porter Jr. as the fourth quarter spark plug, the fourth quarter Porter, as Taylor put it. And then once he's given you all he can give you to start the fourth quarter, you put in your closer. Damian Lillard is your closer.
We got to talk about Dame out there looking like a boxer, dude.
Dude, that is such a beautiful move. And to finish it with the reverse, too, on the opposite side of the basket.
Right.
That burst. He's, 35? Still with great burst?
See, the thing about that is we were talking during the first half of the game right before our episode yesterday, and I was like, man, Dame's little shimmy step back move is the same every time, but it works. And I compared it to LeBron's, you know, move where he shoots the three where he looks down at the ball and he steps back and shoots it. But the reason that he's able to have that is because he still has the burst to drive past you. So now you're on your heels. Do you contest this three-pointer where he looks like he's going to step back and shoot this? Because he can make this.
We just talked about two on the Taurean Prince to Kyle Kuzma play. If the Hawks switch, because they did, and Giannis has Dyson Daniels on him on this play, which also means that Damian Lillard has Onyeka Okongwu guarding him. That's not a great place to be in either. And this is another one of those things we talked about when we did our Brook Lopez, you know, discussion from the Nuggets game.
Mm-hmm.
Teams are going to try to get your biggest, slowest defender on their smallest, fastest player.
Yep.
Because it gives you opportunities to score like this.
Yeah, what a finish.
And the last thing I wanted to throw on here, we've had so many conversations about Brook Lopez. There's still learning opportunities for Jericho Sims.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I get that you like his athleticism, or, you know, that he gets rebounds when he's in because he's guarding backup centers. This is an opportunity for Jericho Sims to do something that Brook Lopez does, and that's contest a shot at the rim. You can even see Kyle Kuzma at the end of this play is kind of clapping at him like, hey, like, I need you there backing me up, because that's what Brook Lopez does.
Yep.
Because Jericho Sims, you got to leave Clint Capella. Gary Trent Jr. is right there next to you. He's going to step in front of that to force that pass to not be there.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to, Sims has to trust that Gary Trent Jr. is going to deny that pass, and he's got to go and contest the shot. That's too easy.
Honestly, if you look closely at Capella's left arm right there, it kind of looks like he grabbed Sims a little bit. Watch his left arm right here. It looks like he's kind of look. It looks like he's grabbing him right there.
That's fair.
But I do agree. You have to react to that sooner, not give him the opportunity to do that. He's still
on the opposite side of the restricted circle from where the ball is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All righty. So we can move on just from the Hawks game in general. Now, I want to talk the Bucks as a whole. Since the trade deadline, they have played 11 games. They are 8-3. You want to take a guess who the top five guys in defensive win shares are for the Bucks in that span?
Well, obviously Giannis has got to be
Number one.
Kuzma.
Kuzma's number two.
Brook
Lopez is number three.
Damn, I'm going in order. This is a lot of pressure now. One of them's got to be the juniors. I'm going to guess Kevin Porter Jr.
It's not Kevin Porter Jr.
Gary Trent? Gary Trent? No, Dame?
Dame is number five.
Really?
Yeah.
Taurean Prince?
Taurean Prince is number four.
There we go. Okay.
Top five in defensive win shares since the trade deadline are Giannis, Kuzma, Brook, Taurean Prince, and Dame. Now, defensive field goal percentages since the trade deadline. Brook Lopez opponents are shooting 47.1% on field goals. Consider the fact that he's guarding centers who most of their shots are in the paint.
Yeah, that's pretty elite, honestly.
Kyle Kuzma's opponents are shooting 42.3% on field goals.
Okay.
Dame's opponents are shooting 41.5% on field goals. Now, consider that he's a guard, so he's guarding a lot of perimeter players.
Yep.
Taurean Prince's opponents are shooting 42.1%. And Giannis's opponents are shooting 39.7%. The differential in these guys' defensive field goal percentages since or compared to their own, Brook is plus 1.1, Kuzma is plus 3.8, Dame is plus 5.2, Taurean Prince is plus 4.9, and Giannis is plus 8.8.
Oh my God. Oh, 8% is fucking wild, dude.
Almost 9%.
I'm sorry. That's fucking disgusting. That is he's getting disrespected in the MVP ladder. Disrespected.
And I have more numbers on the 3-point differentials as well. So looking at defensive 3-point percentage, Dame against Damian Lillard, opponents are shooting 31.7% on threes.
Damn.
And Dame is shooting 36.1, so he's plus 4.5 on 3-point percentage.
Hell yeah.
Kyle Kuzma, his opponents are shooting 25% on threes against him.
Damn.
And he's at 35.9, so he's at plus 10.9%.
Damn.
Gary Trent Jr.'s opponents are shooting 29.6% on threes against him. He's at 36%, so he's plus 6.4%.
Love it.
And Taurean Prince, his opponents are shooting 25.9% of the three-point line. He's shooting 36.1%. That's plus 10.2%.
Damn, bro. Holy crap. Those Dame numbers need to get put out there. That's elite.
Now, we can talk about Brook Lopez on two-pointers. Opponents are shooting 47.5%. Brook is shooting 54.5%. So he's plus almost 7%.
Yeah.
Giannis, his opponents are shooting 46.3%. He's shooting 56.1%. That's plus 9.7%.
Yeah.
And I threw these numbers in for context. Jericho Sims' opponents are shooting 58.8%. Sims is shooting 54.7%. So he's minus 4.1%. Sims is not playing over Brook Lopez anytime soon.
No.
Now, talk about the Bucks as a team since the trade deadline. So they are fifth in defensive rating, third in opponent three-point percentage, fifth in opponent field goal percentage, while being 25th in steals per game and 27th in blocks per game and 25th in opponent fast break points per game.
They're literally just playing old-fashioned defense, bro.
If they went from even 17.9, which is how many fast break points they've allowed in the last 7 or 11 games, to 16.9, that would take them from 25th to the top 10. So there's not a super huge discrepancy in that ranking. But 5th in steals, 27th in blocks, and 25th in opponent fast break points, while being top 5 in defensive rating, opponent three-point percentage, and opponent field goal percentage, that to me tells me that the Bucks are defending the three-point line better and they are finishing possessions with rebounds.
I like it.
Then looking at the Bucks specifically on rebounding, they are second in defensive rebounds per game and third in defensive rebounding percentage.
Okay.
So the Bucks, since the trade deadline, they're doing their damn thing.
Yeah.
All of these numbers are, they're all telling me good things for the Bucks over the last 11 games. From the record all the way down to the super specific player individual field goal percentages and the team rebounding percentages, all of these things, all of these numbers are all telling me good things.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you want to say that they should have more steals or blocks per games, like, they really don't need to. They're playing good defense without having high stat numbers.
Yeah, they're just locking down, really.
And I don't give a shit with your infatuation of box scores. I just don't. Yeah. I care more about wins and losses and playing good basketball. So do the players.
Yep.
None of them are saying, like, oh, I wish we had more steals or blocks per game. No, they're saying we're playing good defense, we're playing good basketball.
Yeah.
So I'm in a good place with the Bucks. They play tonight against the Mavericks, who are depleted. They play Saturday against the Magic, who are slipping. And then they play Sunday against the Cavs and Tuesday against the Pacers. So a couple of tune-up games here, and then they have two important games on Sunday and Tuesday.
Yeah, yeah. They have a good measuring stick game on Sunday, and then Tuesday is a really big one for seeding purposes.
Yeah.
They play the Pacers a couple times in the next probably like 10 days here. So I would like to get those two, obviously, and – ooh, I really want to catch the Knicks. I want the Celtics in the
second. I would love to catch the Knicks.
I want Celtics second round. I want that. I want to get the monkey off our back before we get to the Eastern Conference Finals. And just let the Knicks and I know I'm looking ahead here, but let the Knicks and the Cavaliers beat the hell out of each other in the second round. Let it go seven games. Let them throw blows at each other. I think Donovan Mitchell and MSG would be absolutely electric in the second round. So let's hope for that. Let's hope we get that three seed, because I want Boston in the second round. That's what I'm putting out there right now.
I'm with it. I'm with you.
March 5th. I want the Celtics in the second round.
I hear you. All righty. We'll be back next week. We have two Badger games, four Bucks games. Keep an eye out on the page. We are putting out a lot of Brewers content in the next few weeks leading up to opening day, so stay tuned on that as well. We're working on a lot of that stuff behind the scenes. We've put out a couple things already, but definitely a lot more Brewers content coming out in the next few weeks, as well as spring training winds down and the regular season gets ready to start on the 27th. So the next 3 weeks, keep an eye out for our Brewers content. And then again, we'll be back next week with more basketball. So we will see you then. Thanks everybody for commenting along, and we'll see you next week.
Peace out.